in a world full of straight people. Aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race? And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
This is the Gay Pimp, Johnny McGovern, the host of Hey Queen, and baby, you are listening to Yes, Jesus. Come on now.
Hello, kings and queens and in-between sinners, saints. I don't know if I is or I ain't. Welcome to another Gay Pimpin' episode of Yas Jesus. I'm Daniel Franzese, and as always, I'm here with my bestie.
Hey, just hooking around, Azariah Southworth.
And don't worry, because here at Yas Jesus, we believe
Johnny McGovern is gay AF, honey.
Hey, queen, it's Yas Jesus.
It's like a match made in heaven. Oh, my God.
We have Johnny McGovern today on the pod, so stick around right after our praise report and prayer request. Now, this is the portion of the show where if you have a little something that you want to hallelujah about, let us know. Leave us a praise report. You could do so on yasjesuspod.com, or you could DM any of us, and we'll make sure that we get it on the show. And if you have a prayer request, if something's a little hard for you right now, if something a little extra, you need a little prayer, you can come to us and we'll ask our Yas Jesuits to pray for you. And that's exactly what we're starting with. This prayer request this morning comes to us from Carrie. And Carrie says, I have two prayer requests. The first, my daughter who is recovering from a concussion, and also a prayer request for elderly people living alone. That can be very difficult, Azzy, both of those things. We're going to pray, Carrie, for your daughter for sure, for a speedy recovery. And elderly people living alone, it's so hard. Check in on your elders. If you have a neighbor, if you have something, just ask them if they might need something, you know? Sometimes it's hard even just to carry water up the steps or do certain simple tasks. So just check in on the elderly people that live near you. Thank you so much, Carrie, for those thoughtful messages. We will be praying with you.
Hey, Danny, just checking in with you. You're my neighbor. Do you need anything?
Yeah, can you come clean my house?
All right, well, our praise report comes to us from none
other. Wait a minute, you calling me elderly?
I'm just saying.
I mean, you are if the digits fit.
This comes to us from none other than our sugar daddy, Nate H. Nate wrote this under our episode, Get a Little Me Time, about Sabbath and self-care. Nate says, hi guys. Well, you've done it again. Your episodes always hit right where I need them. I am a go-go kind of person, constantly on the move and making sure everyone around me is good. All that to say, I've recently started taking a little me time, even if it is only 10 to 20 minutes. I sit with my headphones in and listen to a podcast, music, a book, or some other form of entertainment while I color, paint, doodle, or just sit and watch my aquariums. It's been such a game changer. Sundays are always started with Yes, Jesus, followed by my version of praise and worship and time with family. Thank you all for being a part of my spiritual journey. Always, Nate.
Oh, we love you, Sugar Daddy Nate, and we will be praising and hallelujahing with you too. And you guys are going to get a real hallelujah today from Johnny McGovern. And we'll be right back after this with Johnny McGovern and the scripture of the day.
This is Scarlett Envy from RuPaul's Drag Race, and you're listening to Yes, Jesus.
All right, yes, Jesuits, your scripture of the day is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Consider your own call, siblings. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to abolish things that are.
That's a good one. I like that because sometimes I don't feel like what I'm supposed to be, you know, saying what I'm saying and still saying what I'm saying. It's there for everybody. You know, I got somebody that says whatever's on his mind here today on the show. One of my good friends, Johnny McGovern, is a stand-up comedian, an actor, a musician, songwriter, podcast, TV host. Maybe you know him as the Gay Pimp, recording bangers like Man Areas, yes, and Sexy Nerd and Dickmatized and the Biggie soccer practice. I met Johnny McGovern, fun fact, on my 25th birthday 20 years ago. when I saw his show. And then at the end of the show, they all sang happy birthday to me. And that was our first meeting. And then we went out for burritos afterwards. Johnny's also appeared on the Big Gay Sketch Show and is now the host of the ultra uber popular talk show Hey Queen, which is now on Wow Presents Plus, and the podcast Johnny McGovern is gay as fuck. please welcome with us Johnny McGovern. Hey Queen.
Yes.
Welcome to church, Johnny.
I mean, baby, no, you're welcoming me to your church. I am welcoming you to my
yes. Hallelujah.
Yes. You yes. are. It's the Church of Gay Jesus. That's who we pray yes. to around here. I always pray to you. Thank you, Gay Jesus. It's a special type of Jesus that I really feel appreciates all of the things that I do. Yes. And that's really who I'm talking to. So, yeah, I can, and look, honey, I could break into anything if I wanted to right now. I can break into, I can't believe I'm on, yes, Jesus, I can't believe that I'm on, yes, Jesus, I know, well, we gotta stop. I've been looking for a place to use this app for such a long time. And when you called, it is called Praise. It's Praise Something. Oh, my God. I think it's called Praise Tech. I think you're supposed to use it in service when you don't have the money for an organist. Yes.
Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Bum, bum,
bum, bum. Brought to you by the Church of God in Christ.
Hey, listen.
I mean, really, I am not a religious person, but my connection to gospel music started in my bedroom when I was a young little gay boy, and the sounds made me just have joy and be like, this is the type of music that I like. And it was mostly like Screaming Black Ladies, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, all those gospel divas. In fact, the first gospel song that I heard that really made a difference to me, it's so cheesy, Little White Gay, but it was the theme song from Amen. Do you know that show? It was with the star of the Jefferson, Sherman Hemsley, played That's a deacon right. in a church. And the theme song was a Vanessa Bell Armstrong banger called Turn on the Light from Heaven, Lord,
shine on me.
Shine, shine, shine. My little white gay brain turned. I was like, this is what I like. And then, you know, of course, that became a lifelong obsession with like screaming divas over whether it's a church beat or a house beat, sweetie. So you can always catch me.
We always talk about how gay the church is. You know, in Italian culture, it's always like, I have a five of sons. It's a doctor, a lawyer, a farmer, a cook, and then the other one's the priest, you know, the soft one, you know, like, and I think that a lot of like the gay people are what made like the stained glass windows and the velvet and the, you know, we made it all.
We've always been everywhere making things. When things are nice, you can be sure through history, we were there, the homos.
Gays love details, and God is in the details. So that's what we always say. Uh-huh. It's like, right.
Exactly. So,
how are you doing, Johnny? That's what I want to know. How are you doing?
I'm good. Honey, I'm good. Things are, this is, you know, we're back on World of Wonder with, on TV with Hey Queen. And that's like the end of a long, not the end of a journey, but like a point to which we're now finally getting the girls directly from the set of Drag
the
Race. They come to us first. I'm working with Emmy award-winning producers. And, you know, it's a long fucking journey to get here. You know, it took 10 years. Lady Red is gone. And that's always something that will be there and be a sad thing to deal with. But it took so much work to get here that I'm just really trying to enjoy the moment, honey. I'm on a blackout from all. I'm not listening to anything on the internet. I'm just like enjoying the process of having this show and having it be like in the position in which I've been wanting it to be. Like, I could be like, hey, what if we want to recreate the egg that Tsunami Muse walked down the runway with, and then I would wear the egg, and they'd be like, okay, yes, we'll do that. It's not me going to the hardware store, cutting out an egg, painting it, putting a thing. Because that's what it was like for so many years on A-Queen. It was me doing almost every job. So now to be have a team working with me and making the show like it is, I'm in a very happy place.
I love that. So are the queens like literally like losing and then like walking next door to your studio and sitting down with you on the couch and they're losing outfit? And
I mean, someone did ask me like when they leave the studio and they come to you, and I was like, no, that happened a year ago. But we do tape the episodes on the day that the episode where they're eliminated comes out.
So that's fresh.
That's a fresh happening wound. Right away. So we're talking about exactly how they're feeling, exactly everything that's been going on right away. I used to have to wait like a year or so to get the girls. And now that it's a global monolith, there's, you know, you're competing with Entertainment Weekly and people like that. So to be able to get them to come right there is really fun. So I'm having fun, sweetie. I'm having fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're a host, you're a podcaster. And since we're all in the World of Wonder podcast family, yeah, I mean, tell us about Hey Queen, how it got started, and Johnny McGovern is gay as fuck. It's been happening for quite some time. Catch us up.
You know, the pandemic kind of throws it off, but we've been doing Hey Queen for more than a decade. Started as a little YouTube show where I pulled the table in from the reception area at the studio and put a sparkly tablecloth over it. And gave Lady Red like a cowboy hat that was in the dressing room. And we had one like sad fake orchid on the table that I took from my coffee table or some shit. So to have that grow into where it's been on Netflix, on OTV, on, you know, now streaming around the world on WoW Presents Plus, it was wild. And, you know, it was something I really did really with my own two hands. I mean, I edited the whole show. Every graphic you saw, that was me. All the music cues I worked with Adam Joseph on. I would go film it and then I'd go edit it. And to be honest, it took a toll, darling. It took a toll. Plus, you know, Lady Red, when I first met her, was not secure of a home, really. She was living in motels. She was living in off and on with different people. And eventually, when times I realized she was fully homeless, like she'd be like, I need to make this money today to get in a motel for tonight. And she would be doing that. That was the cycle that she was in, not really being totally like, girl, I don't have anywhere to stay. So one time I was just like, well, you just need to come stay with me, honey. We got to get this show done. I can't be just hoping that you're going to make it on some bus or train. We got to make sure you're safe. And so she moved in with me, and then first on the couch, and then eventually got her a room. And, you know, so not only was I doing the stuff with Hey Queen, but, you know, Lady Red and I were great friends and really spending all our time together. But sometimes managing whether also Lady Red was safe until she got secure was another one of the jobs on Hey Queen. But it was worth it because she was such a special person.
Yeah. Would you say that Hey Queen was, or Lady Red was, your motivation to continuing Hey Queen and to make it what it is?
Definitely. Also, at the same time, when we were doing it, sometimes it was my motivation to keep doing it, because sometimes I was ready to quit and be like burnt out, as everybody knows, since everyone has to be everything these days in the creator. But we were creating like tons and tons of content. Every episode had 20 clips, and then the clips would have to go here and you need to upload them in the network. It's all very boring. But I would sometimes be like, I don't want to do this. But I was like, no, Lady Red's also sunk all this stuff into this. I got to keep going for her. We want to get it to the point where we can both be like,
it was your ministry. It was your ministry work.
You know, Johnny, I really appreciate your vulnerability too in the loss of Lady Red. Like, it's something that you've shared with us as like, I mean, we're actually friends, but I mean, with your audience too. You know, in addition to being your friend, I'm a fan, you know, and I'm actually one of the, I am Donna Bellissima from Celebrity Drag Race. But besides that, and previous to that, I was one of the first non-drag people ever to be on Hey Queen. So that was a very big privilege of mine. Because it reminded me of when I was on The Comeback, where I was like doing Hey Queen before I got to watch it. And I was like, this is my favorite show now and I'm on it. Yay. But, you know, I knew Lady Red from before that and during that and after that. And she was so lovely. So if you'd like to, for our listeners, give a nice little space, maybe we could do a little memorial for her now. We could honor her and just talk about her a little bit. What was your relationship like with Lady Red?
I mean, we were best friends. I mean, and in many ways, I almost felt paternal to her in some ways, because in a lot of ways, she needed assistance and help in certain things. Her family had left her sort of by the side, not really given her a lot of tools. She was a drag queen who was really full, was living as a woman. She was trans, but was often in very insecure situations. So she had a lot to deal with. And, you know, it was before a time now where I wish she was alive now to enjoy the trans renaissance and the spotlight that trans people have gotten in the last few years, so well deserved. And I think it would have opened up so many opportunities for her. And it was just so close to a moment in which you could have seen that the world could have seen it. Because look, Hey Queen fans and the people who knew the show knew her, but her talent was huge and amazing. And it was just one of my other side things was sort of creative directing for her, trying to think of vehicles for her, you know, supporting her to do her album, to create. We did like 100 episodes of a podcast with her on Patreon, which really paid her rent. I was always working on how can we do it, girl? Let's get it on, get it together for the camera. Let's go. So we had a real creative partnership in that way, but we were also close. We would chill. We could just hang. We both liked being inside. We both liked a lot of the same. We'd be like, let's, you know, be like at the end of the night, we'd be like, let's get the fuck out of here. We'd be like, girl, let's go. Let's get out of here. When the show was done, we'd be like, let's go. We'd be like, girl, I can't wait to relax. How about you? Me neither. You know?
Yeah, she was also doing a lot of great. She had that great song that was like she did the cover of
Nothing Going On But the
Rent.
And that's like, that's exactly what it was. It was like, that was actually an idea I had for her. And it was when Adam Joseph was here in LA visiting. So he was sleeping on our couch. So we had a whole sort of creative living room. And, you know, a lot of that was so much fun was because Lady Red was such like almost a muse for me in many ways, that like she was so talented that I always would have the ideas for her that we could then all team up on and have fun. Like we did Judge Lady Red, where she was like where she was judging people and there was like a fully scripted court show. I love that show. You can still watch it. It's just very what it is. You know, part of the Lady Red, we'd always make sure she had all the things she loved during the show, like her snacks, her chicken. We'd have one of our producers be like, well, I went to Popeyes this morning and they were out, so I had to go to a different location. And, you know, Lady Red was treated with a lot of love, because what you never needed Lady Red to do was to do something on script for Hey Queen. She just had to come and be herself.
She had a purse. It was like this was years even before Hey Queen, but she had a purse that was like a chicken bucket.
I love that.
And I had a comment. Yes. And I'm very like into kitsch and things that look like other things. So I met her in a wig shop when I was Snooki wig shopping for Jersey Shoresicle, and she was in the wig shop with her chicken bucket purse, and we had a little kiki about that. I always enjoy it. I also love that she did the when the dispensaries were legalized, she had like, she was part of the ad campaign for MedMen and was like all on these billboards and stuff. Like,
well, I mean, she was working at MedMen, which is the the thing about like being for the many early years of Hey Queen, we were still fucking hustling to make money. So I was throwing parties on the side, DJing. Lady Red was working at MedMen, and we were having this huge, you know, success. But, you know, the production was pretty big. It wasn't like we were taking home a lot of money, hunty. So she was a noted personality and working at MedMen. And finally, they were like, we want to put you in the campaign for MedMen. And she got a billboard. It was really beautiful. It was really beautiful. But, you know, she was a hard worker. She was a hustler. And when she walked into the room, she was a star. People knew it. You know what I mean?
Not only did you focus a lot with Hey Queen, you focus on a lot of like the Drag Race queens, but you talk about all kinds of queens from everywhere, especially with the Look at Her segment. We hear about queens from all. It was a really great place to find out about queens all over the world and stuff like that, too. Who do you think deserves like the Lady Red Award right now? Who do you think is a queen who's like hustling and working so hard and like, you know, could just use a little bit of spotlight?
You know what? I don't know who I can give that to. I mean, I feel like because I'm just not as deep in the you know, there was a time we were out in the clubs and I knew who the girls on the edge were.
I want to talk about that time too with you. Yeah, I want to talk about that time with you. I want to dig into your musical career because you wrote some incredibly campy, sexy, and very gay.
Got me through
songs,
college.
Baby. My gay
yes,
babies.
Yes.
Yes. They become yes. gay club standards and classics. And, you know, you said that you created the gay pimp as a response to Eminem at the time, but it's become like this whole thing. I remember the early days of New York City when we met and seeing you pop up all over the place and being like, what is this person doing? Because to me, you know, I mean, we met
that's
at a time where,
in a nutshell, what is this person doing?
But we met at a time, honestly, where I was like, I would say like 3 or 4 years out of conversion therapy. I mean, you may not have known that about me at the time, but like to see you and to go see you, I think I saw you at like PS 122 or something like that. It was like one of those.
That was before the soccer practice video. That's when I was doing. Because I started Gay Pimp as like a character in this musical that we did, and the Midnight musical became a hit. So I started to, as any young homosexual gentleman with dreams of stardom says, like, am I a pop star? Shall I perform at the Cock and like the Hole and all these other little tiny places with 5 male backup dancers dressed as soccer players and 2 drag queen cheerleaders and have sound effects with my moves? Yes, I will. So I was definitely in that fantasy. And then you saw that at the penultimate moment, we did a whole musical called Gay Pimp and the Dirty Gay Teen Pop Superstars, which was a whole review of all of the songs. We had a real Abercrombie models as the soccer guys. Coco Aviance and Eric Couture Aviance were in drag in that show and killing it. I mean, it was really a dream. And a Broadway producer came to that show. His name is Richard J. Alexander, a great guy, a director on Broadway, worked with Barbara Streisand, Bette Midler, all these people. And he saw the show and afterward he was like, well, this is fantastic. What do you want to do next? I mean, he was like a really bold personality. What do you want to do, kid? And for whatever reason, I had just seen Kevin Aviance's video that he had made, a music video called Rhythm Is My Bitch. And it was stunning. And I knew the director. And I was like, I think I want to make a video. There was no YouTube. There was no actual place that should have been able to go. We made this video for $5,000 with me as the gay pimp, who is sort of a pop star fantasy of wearing like a rhinestone t-shirt that said Gay Pimp, rhinestone jeans, sunglasses, and I'll pop up in the middle of the, you know, the soccer locker room and take the jock on sort of a mythical version of tour of all of gay sex, where soccer, military, athletics, anything that we felt was something that was not ours as queer people. When we were kids, I was flipping the script on it and making it all sort of analogy to gay sex.
That's exactly what I want to talk to you about. It took me so long to grow my gay audacity. And I listened to, you know, there's a lot of legitimate people that listen to this program who many of them are still dealing with church hurt or suffering with their inner turmoils and dealing with things. I mean, we even have superstars like Mo Hart on here talking about that there's still like a combat
between,
and so I'm curious to you, so early on in your career, so young, you were probably, I mean, outside of somebody who was a queen or even like someone in the ballroom scene, like Kevin Aviance or something that I had seen before, you were like the first, I think, guy that I saw that had like that kind of just like full unbridled gay audacity. Where did it come from? Where did your courage to do this kind of material come from? Did you just say like fuck it and push it all the way to the edge? Or was it something that you had to like pry out of you? Like, because it was so apparent back then as it is now, you've always unequivocally been Johnny McGovern. And one of those people who you say your full name every time you talk to you too. But like you are like, where did Johnny McGovern get the courage to be Johnny McGovern?
You know, like I definitely was not like, I remember my first boyfriend was some, or my first like serious boyfriend was someone who had been out since he was 13. And I didn't come out till the end of college. You know, I was at theater school. So everyone thought I was gay anyway, before I came out, and everyone was like whisper. No one knew. No one was like, congrats. I didn't have to even come out at all. When I finally had sex with a guy and was like, oh, I am gay. Yeah. Okay. I'm gay. I'm definitely gay. Like all this torment through high school where I felt, oh God. And even having sex with girls in college, I definitely, it wasn't until I had sex with a guy, I was like, yes, 100%. Sorry, everyone. I'm fully gay. I'm gay. And then I moved to New York, and I moved there with my best friend, and I started to perform in this Lower East Side scene that was happening at that time, which was really a magical moment. It was a place called Surf Reality. Danny, you may have been there. And it was on the Lower East Side. And Sunday nights, they had this open mic night called Face Boys Open Mic. And you could put in a number. And even if the show had to go till 2 a.m, everyone performed. So, honey, you got a lot of weird shit at this place. Stand-ups, working out material, strippers, the homeless guy from down the street, some old lady that lives nearby that wants to read her grocery list, the singers, dancers, like huge performances, tiny weird shit. And I went there and I started doing characters, and the owners of that place took me aside and were like, you're good. Like, you should just tell us when you're going to come. We'll put you up early. And they gave me a space to start feeling myself. And that was not a really gay. And at the same time, this is important. At the same time, I was discovering nightlife and, to be honest, drugs. I don't do drugs now, but I was discovering, like, smoking weed had happened maybe a year before that, which I still do enjoy. And then we started to go to nightclubs, take ecstasy for the first time. And I wasn't someone who even drank in college. So this was, I was then starting to feel sexual as a person. I had lost weight. I was looking good. I was in New York. I was feeling myself. At the same time, I was performing in this Lower East Side place where I was pretty much the only gay guy. And because I was having this personal transformation on the other side of my life, I started to really do all this in-your-face gay stuff. I think one of the first things I did was a song called Girl, I Fucked Your Boyfriend. And so it was about me, like, fucking straight guys. There was a joke pageant they did at one of these theaters called Collective Unconscious called Mr. Lower East Side. Usually all, like, the lame, hot, cold, ugly, weird guys from the scene would join it, the straight comedians. That was the idea, who would join it. And I joined and was very gay, and it was very low rent and whatever. But, honey, I won. And at the end, all the straight guys lifted me on their shoulders and held me up. And I was like the gay guy doing the super gay material in straight people's kind of face. And that really stuck. And I was like, oh, this is it. Like, everything that I was feeling before and feeling afraid of, I should just twist it and make it how I like it and how I want it. So that's really where all that stuff started to come from.
So was it the performance space, Surf Reality, like just some place where you could just do something that wasn't as weird as maybe an old lady reading her grocery list? Like, you can take it as weird as you want.
The open mic was all sorts of people doing whatever, comedy, whatever. But that theater was doing shows every night of the week. So we formed this group that was performing these midnight musicals called Grindhouse a Go-Go. And eventually I started writing some of them, directing them. And then we did this show called The Wrong Fact to Fuck With, Gay Pimp versus Eminem, which was like a little midnight musical, and where a gay pimp was a magical pop star in this fantasy world where he was singing songs on the radio. And, you know, there's a sequence with a young gay guy that's like, that's like me, you know, some cheesy shit. And I had to battle Eminem at the MTV Video Music Awards, and chaos ensued. Erykah Badu was in it. Eminem's manager was this coke sniffing lady. I mean, it was like all sorts of weird, not the real Erykah Badu, but the it was those type of characters.
She could be.
I wouldn't believe that.
Anyway, all that is to say, that's what created that. That's a long-winded way of saying we made this little musical, and that's what created it. And that's where I started to feel my niche. You know, I was becoming truly myself on the personal side of my life and discovering this whole world of gay nightlife. And that's where I first saw Kevin Aviance, and being influenced by the music and the culture. And then in New York, and doing this sort of alternative comedy on the side and letting them infuse each other. So I think that's where that feeling of sort of being very in your face or twisting heteronormative ideas came from initially.
Were you making music before that?
No, you know, when I was singing off key in my bedroom, my own pop songs in like 10th grade. Like I definitely was like listening to tons of R&B and soul and had like a whole fantasy that I was going to be like a serious R&B singer. And when I was in college and still in the closet, I even like would make demos with local producers and like singing songs that were very like, girl, I wanna lay
you got that voice
down.
For it, though.
You know what I mean? Like very embarrassing, very embarrassing in retrospect. But, and then I put that away. I was like, who am I going to be? What, a 6'5", white, funny looking, gay R&B singer? I don't think it's going to happen. But then when I started to do this comedy on the Lower East Side, then I was like, well, this is maybe a place for my sort of soul singing fantasy to come true in this comedy.
You know,
manner,
you shared with you us earlier, I mean, your love for gospel music. What I want to know is, Johnny McGovern, when are we getting a sexy, deep voice gospel song track from you?
I mean,
campy.
I have recorded a song that is probably too inappropriate.
It's not.
Theme song. It's the theme song for my original podcast, Gay Pimpin' with Johnny McGovern, and it's sort of my version of Are You Ready for a Miracle? And it goes, Are you feeling really faggoty? Faggoty that can be. Are you feeling really faggoty? Faggoty, yes indeed. Feeling faggoty, faggoty, faggoty. Faggoty, I feel really faggoty, faggoty that can be, and that's when I need praise break again and just go.
Yes.
I feel really faggoty.
Have you recorded? You recorded the song?
Yes. Are you feeling really faggoty? Has been recorded. Yes.
We would love to play it at the end of this show if you'll give it to us.
Sure.
So stay tuned, yes, Jesuits, to the end of this program till you can hear. Are you feeling really faggoty?
Get all your guys.
Right. Yes. It's a classic. It's an old classic.
You know, when we first discussed you being on the podcast, when we met at the Rainbow Key Awards, reconnected at the Rainbow Key Awards in West Hollywood, you had mentioned that you had feelings about spirituality. Do you have a spirituality practice?
I don't know if I call it a practice. Like, I'm definitely not religious. My parents are both raised Catholic. I don't think they really enjoyed it. I don't think they got a lot out of it. I think there was negativity that came from it for them. And so they both got stepped away from that. So when with me, they kind of did it for grandma, if you know what I mean. Like I would go to church with them occasionally. We lived overseas. I grew up in Thailand and Egypt. So there were points, I think, for social normalcy to be like, we'll go to church. They would occasionally, we'd go to church on a Sunday, but eventually that kind of fell to the wayside. My dad, though, is very spiritual, and I think all that stuff did sink in. My mom, also spiritual, but much more, I'd say she connected to the Eastern sort of more Buddhism type of feeling. But both of them, though, religion was a no for them. Connection to some other power was a thing for them.
That's how I feel.
In their own ways.
I think we agree with that. Organized religion is a lot of based around a lot of money, real estate, power structure. When I was speaking of spirituality, I hate when people say, oh, I'm not religious, because I don't think of myself as religious. I go to church every Sunday if I can, but I don't think of myself as religious. I think of myself as somebody who has a connection with some sort of higher power in a way. Like, and that's like a big part of like what I am. But I'm interested in what you were saying about growing up in Thailand and Egypt. I don't know if I knew that about you. How did that come around? What was that like?
My mom worked for Planned Parenthood. She was pretty high up. She was working as head of Asia and the South Pacific. So she was going to have to travel. We lived in Brooklyn. So when I was eight, she got this promotion and she was going to have to be traveling back to there like, 6 months out of the year. So as a family, they decided we would move there so she could just be traveling throughout Asia working with Planned Parenthood. And my dad was an artist and an art teacher, so he was able to work at the American schools or national schools wherever we went. And I got to live in Thailand for 5 years. And then when I was in eighth grade, we moved to Egypt, and I lived there till I graduated high school. So I got a lot of worldliness, bitch. Ever heard of it? Worldliness.
Well, I mean, if you take an art teacher and then you take like a Planned Parenthood executive and then add a little gay spice, I think you get a gay pimp out of that.
Exactly. My parents were very accepting. They saved space for gay marriage at their wedding. And that was in the fucking early 70s, okay?
Wow. Wait, tell me about that. Tell me about that.
Well, they had gay friends, so they, you know, they made a point to acknowledge their friends who couldn't get married at their wedding, and that was in the 70s.
Wow, that is
they met in the Peace Corps, so that tells you everything. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, just radical
they
love.
Met in Panama in the Peace Corps, so both really gave me an opportunity to really be in cultures around the world. And I think my view of all spirituality is that like all the different versions of people's religions are really just praying to the same thing, like in their own, in everyone's own way. And I think because I was around so many different kids of different faith and background, that was just very normal to me.
It's about feeding your soul, you know, and we all need our bellies fed and we need our souls fed, you know? Mm. So maybe a question is, for you, Johnny McGovern, what feeds your soul? How do you feed your soul?
I think connection with friends, connecting also through creative outlets with friends. Like working with the people that I've worked with for many years is where I've found stability as well as great pleasure, as well as a way to keep friendships that may be in different cities alive. I started podcasting in 2006. Wow. Okay, that's a long time ago. And all these people who are my close friends were on that show with me and have been on the shows with me over the years. Adam Joseph, Erica, Linda James, Julian Brandy. And so a lot of times, our fun ways to socialize is we'll see each other and be like, should we record? And we'll do, you know, it's a way to have this conversation that sometimes we don't have with people, where you're like, let's just sit and bullshit through hot topics, how things are going, what's going on. And I use it as a way to stay connected to people. And I really enjoy that. And that I think that type of connection is what makes me feel good. And is one of the reasons why Lady Red and I worked so well together is we were living in the same house and creating things and being like, what are we going to do? You're going to look like this. And we're going to do that. And then what if you said this to her and you're going to do that? And you know what I mean? Like that type of energy is what I love.
Yeah, I did it.
I'm a new dog dad, and that also I'm full of love for that.
What kind of doggy?
Well, he's about a year and a half old now, but he's a lab and Great Dane named Cha-Cha.
We love Cha-Cha, Mr. Cha-Cha.
He is big. He's big. He's killing it. He's big.
I did this musical called Found, and there was a song in it that says, I just want to do something that I love and do it with people that I love. And like I always think about that. All the time is it doing something that I love with people that I love. And I just really feel like that is definitely a center for me too. You know, we like one of the reasons we started this, I do think that it's not an original thought, but I do think that we are a species that worships, you know, if you think about like, you know, cavemen worshiping fire or like, you know, aliens or anything, you know, Aztecs, like all the things that people have worshiped. Like, what is something that gives you the maybe not a higher power vibe, but what is something that you connect to? Is it your friendships? Is that would be the thing for you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, when I joke about saying like, thank you, gay Jesus, there is a feeling of that to me, whatever it is. It's a all loving, all appreciating higher power of some kind who is looking out for me and or listening to what I have to say, whether that is me talking to myself, going back down to myself or whatever it is. I feel like that's kind of, it's very amorphous in that way. But I do feel like I do wake up and say, thank you for, oh, this is going to be a great day. I'm so grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for all the things where I'm at because I feel like that's really something that it's easy to forget. So, and so I'm not talking just to myself. I'm talking to gay Jesus or whatever the heck it is. You know what I mean? But it's Jay Jesus because, like, I can also be like, thank you for that beautiful bottle or whatever I wanted. You know,
by the way, we have an episode early on in our podcast. It was like when we were first coming up with the concept for Yes Jesus, it was like one of the top five episodes I wanted to record is, can you thank God for
turns
a good
out
blowjob?
You can,
and we truly believe
right,
that
I think you can, because you know, I mean, that's where I feel like that was you know what, I met that young man, he was so handsome. Yes. Thank you, gay Jesus, that was exactly what I needed.
There's a lot of, you know, sex has healing power. Sex has the ability to stress relieve. Sex has the ability to make you younger, to restore things, to give you confidence, like semen is great for the skin
and the belly.
No, there's a lot, and fortified with protein. No, there's a lot of good benefits of sex, and I feel like there's so much stigma around sexuality. There's so much shame. We take the shame out of this because we say the Christians with the hard R's, like they're always like the fundamentalist Christians are always trying to shame sexuality. And I, you know, they say eat, pray, love. Well, it's okay. The love is sex. Like, you know, you say, I just want to thank the Lord for that amazing cruise. I needed it. Yeah, but you fucked the bellman. You know, let's not forget the bellman, because that was a great lay. Like, I mean, and like, honestly, like I think that there is something to that. I think God invented those feelings. And to me, that's what's so crazy, that people, the reason things feel good to us is so procreation for breeders wouldn't be a chore. And then for the rest of us, it could be a way to have lust and connection. And I feel like it's a way to bind people in a relationship. Constantly. It's the way to express people, to find out other things about people. So I believe that the universal God, as you speak of, that all pray to, is one up there that will also take a thank you for a beautiful butthole they created.
Exactly.
My friend Steve Peters, who was honored at the Key Rainbow Awards that night, he gave me a book called Embodiment, and it was written in the 70s, and it's all about becoming a fully embodied human being, and that includes your sexual being, you know, and it talks about how, what you're just talking about, Danny, you know, like how the God, the divine created us as sexual beings, and that's a good thing, and it's a healthy thing, and to embrace that and to be open with that is not shameful or gross or disgusting. You know, it's part of being human, and it's beautiful. And so I love that you approach sexuality so bluntly and forwardly in your music. You know, Digmatized, come on. Yes, that's a spiritual song for me. That feeds my soul.
I mean, and watch the video. I even have a gospel-y moment in that, where at the end, when the bridge, we have the three gospel divas, including Lady Red, in the video, going, it gets harder.
Okay, question for you: your Holy Trinity of queens, who would that be?
Okay, Lady Red. Kevin Aviance. I don't know who the third still up for.
Maybe the sun
earn your spot. I have someone too close to me that fills the third spot, and they'll always be there. Lady Red, Kevin Aviance, Erica Tor Aviance, a ride or die, a legend, a gorgeous queen who has evolved so many. I mean, if your listeners aren't familiar with Erica Tor Aviance, put My Pumps into YouTube and get into all of her. She's also doing incredible stuff right now with a drag group in Arizona. They're selling out like 600 seat theaters. She and Sherry Vine are doing shows together. So I love her. Yeah. Kevin Aviance was the queen that was like gateway to cunt.
Yeah.
Gateway to cunt. The gateway, like, to understanding and appreciating the beauty of cunt and what that means in a queer sense. The best performer I've ever seen in my life. I mean, and I don't think if you weren't there at 5 a.m. to see Kevin Aviance pretending to chew gum, standing in the dark with lights just barely flashing on him, just hitting his shoulder as Junior Vasquez slowly worked in his remix of Milkshake by Khalees, And have you only noticed that Kevin Obvious is on stage like 5 minutes later, and then slowly have the vocals start to come in and him embody this character by doing nothing but pretend to stand there and chew gum at 5 in the morning at this huge club under the light on this stage? Like, this person is so talented in so many ways. And I've always been a huge, huge fan.
Kevin Aviance was a huge gay awakening for me, because when I was, it was like my first year at depression therapy. I was at this club called the Coliseum in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, near Wilton Manors. And I had known all the twinks and all the gays that were in the houses, but I didn't know what houses were. And I didn't know like who was in what house or anything. I didn't like understand that culture yet. And I had, but I had seen them all or thought they were hot or whatever, you know? And then it was like late at night, one night at the Coliseum, and I was on the balcony of it, because it had a big balcony. You could look down onto the dance floor on the stage. And Kevin Aviance came out, and the music started, Cunty, Cunty. And they started separating like West Side Story into like two sides of the room. And I was like, what's going on? And he said, this is a legendary dance for the legendary gay children. Do never let the straight people take this away from you. This is your culture. Instead of fighting in the streets, instead of using guns and knives, we use moves and poses. And he explained it in a way that made me understand. And I, at that moment, as a queer person not yet realized, I was like, I have a culture I don't even know about. And it gave me an opportunity to dig deep into my culture. So I totally agree with you on that. And big ups to Kevin Aviance. It's been so amazing. Johnny, I could talk to you forever on here. We would love to have you back again. And we'll have you in our Christmas pageant for sure with your silky voice.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. But we, you know, we do have limited time here. We want to keep you here for the prayer. But first, I would like to have our listeners know their Tide, Love Offering, Charity, Act of Good this week.
We want you to check out the Metropolitan Community Church. It is a global worldwide network of affirming congregations that are not only welcoming and inclusive to LGBTQ people, but created specifically by and for LGBTQ people. They were and still are a movement before Stonewall. So check out a local Metropolitan Community Church near you.
That's correct. Before Stonewall, they were one of the three pillars of the gay community, along with the Gay Men's Chorus and the LGBT Center. We will eventually be talking about Leather Daddy Troy Perry, who founded MCC. And but we will say that we've been going to Founders MCC here in Los Angeles. That is where Azzy and I go every Sunday. We were there this morning, and it is the very same church that Troy Perry started. It's incredible. You know, we have so many LGBTQIA of all types in the congregation. They blessed couples on Valentine's Day and even had a throuple up there. So it's a very welcome and an inclusionary place for all of anyone in Los Angeles. And if you are not in Los Angeles and you're looking for an MCC church, or you're looking for an affirming church, you could always go to churchclarity.org and find a church that will welcome you with open arms and open gay hearts.
Yeah, come get liberated with Danny and me on a Sunday morning. Well, if you are looking for a church home where you aren't just tolerated, but in the core crowd, we want you to check out MCC, so visit mccchurch.com.
Right, that is at visitmccchurch.com.
My bad.
Now, no worries. But you may have followers, and if your followers are not actively engaging with each other, learning from each other, and vibing regularly, then you don't have a community. So please reach out to us. We want to know who you are, and we want to feel your presence. Johnny, do you feel comfortable opening us up in prayer?
Yes.
To the big gay Jesus out there?
Yes, yes.
Now, just before we do, stick around for Johnny's prayer, and you're going to bow your heads, and unless you're driving, because Jesus can't actually take the wheel. But before we get into that, we have drag queen prayers. That's right. Yes, Jesus was in RuPaul's Drag Con in UK, in London. And while we were there, we got some holy prayers from some divine drag queens. And today we're going to share a prayer from a prayer offering by current UK versus the world contestant, Miss Scarlet Envy.
I pray for more vodka sodas for everyone. Just stay hydrated and stuff. Hydrator, dihydrate. I mean, acceptance, community, and love. It sounds crazy, but I mean, RuPaul preaches it for a reason, right? If we can't love ourselves, how are we supposed to love ourselves? So, amen.
Thank you, Scarlet Envy, using my hydrator, dihydrate, which I hope sweeps the nation. Johnny, would you please open us up in prayer?
Yes, yes. Gay Jesus up in heaven, we want to right now ask you to please help Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams is a person who brought a lot of joy to millions of people, including me, every morning, and worked very hard her entire life to make something extremely unique out of herself. And I just, after watching that documentary on her, you know, I've always been a huge Wendy stan, and it just really hit me right in the chest for someone who's just done something so incredible for so many years. I don't like when people say that it's karma because she talks about people. This is what everyone does about everyone. Wendy Williams was a delight and brought a lot of joy to a lot of people. She doesn't deserve to be in the situation she's in with the government controlling her money and her family not being able to get to her, whatever the situation is. Please, everyone, just engage Jesus above. Send the energy of healing to Wendy Williams, because really feel for her. And she's given us so much joy over the years. So there are many horrible things going on in the world, but that is the micro point of light that I would like to shine this week for Wendy Williams, because, honey, she needs it. Thank you, yeah, Jesus. Amen.
I love that you said micro point of light, because when we pray on this show, we are shining a prismatic light that shoots in little tiny dark corners of the legitimate Tequa community that doesn't get the light. So you were right on point by saying that. And God, we want to lift up a big, hairy thanks and praise for Johnny McGovern. He is a light, and he is a joy, and he's turning struggle into laughter and oppression into unbridled queer joy. He was part of my gay awakening and my friend, and I just want to lift him up, and I want you to just cover all of his endeavors with success and with healing joy for everyone out there.
And God, I just want to ask for forgiveness for all the speakers that were not mine that I broke when I was sitting on them listening to Johnny McGovern's voice. But in all sincerity, we also lift up the two prayer requests from Carrie. We pray with Carrie for her daughter who is recovering from a concussion. Let her heal and become whole again. We also remember elderly people who are living alone. Surround them with neighbors, caregivers, friends, and family who know how to love and support them in the ways that they need. We also give praise with Nate for the reminder of Sabbath, breaks, Selahs, and little me time. Help our show be a reminder that we are never alone and that we need to rest every so often, maybe even right now.
And a big thank you for Nate for being a sugar daddy who supports Yash Jesus. He's been a blessing to all of us here at Yash Jesus, and we are so grateful for you, Nate. Thank you, God, Amen. For this day. Amen. Yes, thank you, Johnny McGovern. Thank you, Azzy. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Yash Jesus. You can find us on social media at Yash Jesus Pod or on our website at YashJesusPod.com. Now, if you like the show, I said if you like the show, please leave us a support with your donation. We've set up a Patreon account where you can become a supporter. And you can make a one-time donation through the Buy Me a Coffee. Information to do both will be in the show notes and on our website at YashJesusPod.com. Now, if you ain't got no money, honey, if you ain't got a dime, don't worry about it. You could leave us a review. You could share us with a friend. Help us spread Yash Jesus to others who might need to hear it.
Oh, brothers and sisters, siblings in the Lord, you can now leave an audio prayer request or praise report on our website, YashJesusPod.com. We would love to share your voice and your prayers on the show, so drop us a line or send us a recording on YesJesusPod.com.
That's right. Send us your praise reports, your prayer requests, your episode ideas, your guest ideas, or even just a, hey, queen, look at her. We'd love to hear from you. Yash Jesus is hosted by me, Danny Franzese,
and Azariah Southworth. I cannot go as deep as Johnny McGovern. Music, no, sound, editing.
Baby. No, you can't.
Stop. No, I don't have my speaker. Oh, music, sound, editing, and all things audio are done by Chris Hackman. Raise that bass, Chris. Our show is produced by the freaking Deacon Ross Murray and Lady Boss Meredith Pauly. Our sugar daddies are Nathan N. and John H., and we want you to join them. Visit the Yash Jesus Patreon right now.
This episode of Yash Jesus is brought to you by World of Wonder. And we are streaming and screaming on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Download it now, Jesus.
Oh, God loves you just as you are.
So keep praising the Lord, y'all. And enjoy Are You Ready to Get Faggoty by Johnny McGovern.
Are you feeling really faggoty?
Yes, I can be.
Are you feeling really faggoty?
Yes, I can be.
Feeling faggoty, 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 faggoty.